Welcome to Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola. When dealing with the rebellion of his son Absalom, David found that only waiting upon God in prayer and faith could bring his troubled heart to a place of quiet, submission, and rest. The same is true of every one of us. Only God can bring peace in the midst of a stressful personal storm, and only God can deliver us. Please open your Bible to Psalm 62 and listen as Pastor Ray Viola begins his study.
We are in Psalm 62 and Psalm 63 tonight. So if you'll please turn to Psalm 62. This is written to the chief musician, to Jeduthun, a psalm of David. So again, this is a psalm that is meant to be put to music, a song that is meant to be sung, and a song that is meant, when singing, to commit to memory the things that we are singing. And it continues with the story of Absalom's rebellion against his father. This is another one of the Psalms of David, the man after God's own heart. And as we've already found, and we'll see again tonight, David was anointed to be the next king of Israel. And what was his seminary? His seminary was this non-elective course of bears and lions and betrayal and murder and even suffering the consequences of sin in his own family. And the same is true for you and me, beloved. God's seminary is that non-elective course that we learn in the day in and day out mountains and valleys of life. Timothy Keller, in his commentary on the Songs of Jesus or the Psalms, says, quote, "This is a psalm for those under stress, and the first verse is the key to facing it. Literally, it says, only toward God my soul is silence. When we are in trouble, our soul chatters to us. We have to have this, or we won't make it. This must happen, or all is lost. The assumption is that God alone will not be enough. Some other circumstance or condition or possession is necessary to be happy and secure. David, however, learned to tell his soul, I need only one thing to survive and thrive, and I have it. I need only God and his powerful fatherly love and care. Everything else is expendable. When this realization sinks in, you will never be shaken." David begins here this song that he gives to Jeduthun, "Truly or only my soul waiteth upon God. From him cometh my salvation." Again, the original is, "Only to God is my soul silence." In fact, the emphatic word in this psalm is the word "only." Charles Spurgeon writes, "The only psalm is, this is the only psalm because it harps on that word." We find it in verses 1, 2, 5, and 6. David had no mixed reliance. He had not built on a foundation partly of iron and partly of clay. It was all in harmony throughout. His trust was in the Lord alone. Only waiting upon God in prayer and faith could bring David's troubled heart to a place of quietude, submission, and rest. And the same is true for every one of us in these perilous times this evening as well. David wrote in Psalm chapter 20, verses 7 and 8, "Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. They are brought down and fallen, but we are risen and stand upright." Psalm 33, verse 20 says, "Our soul waiteth for the Lord. He is our help and our shield." Again, Spurgeon writes, quote, Our salvation in no measure or degree comes to us from any inferior source. Let us, therefore, look alone to the true foundation and avoid the detestable crime of ascribing to the creature what belongs alone to the Creator. We may throw out a passing and occasional acknowledgement that our only help is to be found in God, and yet shortly display our distrust in Him by busying ourselves in all directions to supplement what we consider defective in His aid. Verse 2, He only is my rock in my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved because of what He said, that the Lord alone was His rock, His salvation, His defense. The word defense here is a Hebrew word that suggests a stronghold or a high tower. Sound familiar? The prophet Nahum writes in chapter 1, verse 7, "The Lord is good." Let us never forget that. The Lord is good. What we see happening in our nation and around the world tonight is no reflection of God. The Lord is good. And He is a stronghold in the day of trouble, and He knows them that trust in Him. Proverbs 18:10 says, "The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and is safe. He that stands with one foot on a rock and another foot upon quicksand will certainly sink and perish, as certainly as he that stands with both feet upon quicksand." The Bible says in the book of James, chapter 1, verse 8, that a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. And that word "all" jumped out of the pages as I was preparing this message tonight. Person who wavers in their faith in God, the promises of God, the character of God, is going to be an unstable and unsettled person in every area of their life. David cries out now, how long? He's not asking a question with a shaped fist here. He's expressing despair. How long will you imagine mischief against a man? You shall be slain, all of you, as a bowing wall shall you be, and as a tottering fence. They only consult to cast him down from his excellency. They delight in lies. They bless with their mouth, but they curse inwardly. Selah. Why would God place a Selah after the two verses that speak about David's adversaries or sources of trouble? May I suggest to you, beloved, because we need to be reminded as Christians, we are not in heaven. And in this life, we are going to experience times of opposition, times of persecution, times of trouble from others. Trials, tribulations, temptations, false accusations, and fiery darts from the enemy are an inevitable part of the Christian life. You know, if your car hits a bump and the contents in your cup spills all over, what was the cause of the contents spilling over? The cause was you hit the bump. And likewise, the bumps in our lives oftentimes bring out the real indicator of where our faith and trust lies. And tonight, our faith and trust needs to lie upon the Lord alone. And how we need to redeem the time, looking to Him, praying to Him. And as it says in verse 5, "My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from Him." Wait thou, keep quiet. An anonymous old seasoned saint in days gone by once said, quote, Many are the times I've regretted doing something in my own strength and understanding, but I've never regretted waiting on the Lord and His wisdom in timing. The word expectation is describing David's ground of hope. There were a lot of question marks that he had, a lot of questions that he had, just like you and me. David placed the unknowable outcome of this situation into the hands of his unchanging God. Once again, Tim Keller writes, "The battle to shape our hearts with the truths our minds know is never over." How true that is. John Corson writes in verse 1, David said, "Truly my soul waits upon God." Here in verse 5, he tells his soul to wait only on God, as if to say, you know it theologically, now do it practically. How true. Wise advice. The value of our faith is always determined by its object. And faith is worthless, unless it rests upon the Lord alone. And when our faith is in Him, there will be a peace that passes understanding. There will be an assurance. There will be a rest. And there will always be confidence that He, not me, is on the throne. Verse 6, He only is my rock in my defense, or in my salvation, pardon me. He is my defense. I shall not be move. David declares for the second time that Jehovah is my defense. The word defense here means a shelter. Now again, in the second verse we read, I shall not be greatly moved. And now in this verse we read, I shall not be moved. And this marks an appreciable advance in faith. There's a great increase in confidence and dependence and assurance as David now is reminding himself in the midst of this battle who his defense is, who his rock is, who his salvation is. You see, there's security in the Lord. There is a security that believers can have. Beloved, tonight, Jesus Christ is your strong defender. Jesus Christ is your strong tower. Jesus Christ is your rock. Jesus Christ is your advocate with the Father. He's not your adversary. He is for you, not against you. In God, verse 7, is my salvation and my glory. The rock of my strength and my refuge is in God. You see the vertical nature of David's faith. Look at how the psalmist declares his personal experience with the Lord. David is not putting together a Bible study or a message referring to Bible programs. This is David writing from personal experience. He declares, the Lord or Jehovah is my salvation. He is my rock. He is my defense. He is my expectation. He is my glory. He is my strength. He is my refuge. That's personal. That's deep. That's intimate. And that's what the Lord's desire is for everyone who is watching this tonight, that our knowledge of Him would be personal and intimate, not secondhand. Four times, David declares, Jehovah is my salvation. And the Hebrew word that is translated salvation 65 times is translated help 4 times, deliverance 3 times, health 3 times, saving and welfare 1 time. In other words, the Lord Jesus Christ is mankind's, sinners, all-encompassing deliverer. In fact, the very Hebrew word that is translated salvation is the word Yeshua, from which we get the name Joshua or Yeshua or Jesus. What a Savior Jesus is. What a deliverer Jesus is. What a rock Jesus is. What a strength Jesus is. What a hope Jesus is. Trust in Him at all times. Right now, beloved, right now. Some of you right now may be reeling and dealing with issues of COVID-19, grieving over lost loved ones, or concerned for those who have been tested and are positive. Some of you are watching tonight and you've been the object of brutality or vandalism or hurt. Trust Him. Trust Him. He has not done those things to you. Trust in Him at all times. Ye people, pour out your heart before Him. God is a refuge for us. Selah. When we are trusting in God, that means that our heart is fixed. There is nowhere else to turn. There is only one object of our faith, and that is the Lord. Our response to depression and discouragement and frustration and hurt and pain and sorrow is looking to the Lord. There is no other place to look. He has the words of eternal life. That should be our response to troublesome times. So many times I find myself reacting to the moment, the heat of the moment, the pressure of the moment, the pain of the moment. And I always regret it when I react, when I should be responding to God, trusting Him. If God be for us, we need not fear what man can do against us. I heard the story once of a gifted athlete that was in this tragic accident and they lost their arm. Well, the man, after he recovered, began to work out again, but he wanted to do something. He still had that athletic drive in him. He still wanted to compete. And so he took up handball. And lo and behold, this individual became a particular gym's handball champion. And then he became the champion of the county, and he just began winning award after award. And then there was an interviewer who asked him, how is it that a one-armed man can defeat a two-armed man in handball? And he said this, listen carefully. He says, well, it's pretty easy. When my opponents when the ball comes off the wall, they have to decide which arm they're going to use. With me, I have no other option. When you hit the wall, when things come at you or at me, trouble, difficulty, adversity, where do you turn? You see, you may be like the man with the two arms. Wouldn't it be great if we were all like the one-armed handball champ? There's no other object. My immediate response is to trust Him. We need to trust Jesus at all times. You know why the Lord says trust Him at all times? Because we don't trust Him at all times. We need to trust Him to guide us when we are in doubt. We need to trust Him to protect us when we are in danger. We need to trust Him to supply for us when we are in want. We need to trust Him to strengthen us for every good work and word. We need to remember that Jesus is a very present help in times of trouble. When the Bible says trust in Him at all times, you know what that means? right now? How does pouring out your heart to God fit with waiting silently for Him? Because obviously they're not contradictory. Waiting silently for God only, as we've seen, is to put our hearts in submission to His sovereign love in the face of trials that seem to contradict either His sovereignty or His love. It's an attitude of trustful submission. Pouring out our hearts is to unburden ourselves in prayer, where we empty all of our anxieties and all of our confusion and all of our pain onto the Lord, while still remaining in submission to His Father, to His sovereign love. Let me ask you, can you remember the last time that you spent a significant chunk of time pouring out your heart to the Lord? You know what I found in my own life? And I'm learning just like every one of you. The more that I pour out my heart to the Lord, the less I find it necessary to pour out what's in there to other people. Because when we pour out our heart to the Lord, we're pouring out our heart to the only one who can really do something about it. I think of Peter. Peter, who failed miserably. He denied the Lord. And when Jesus restored Peter, He said to him, well, remember, He says, Satan has desired to sift you, Peter, that he might have you like wheat, but I've prayed for you that your faith would not fail. Not that he wouldn't fail, but that his faith would not fail. And so when Peter was restored after Jesus rose again from the dead, Jesus asked him this question. Peter, do you love me? That was it. Peter, do you love me? And Peter knew a thing or two about being persecuted, about failing, about discouragement, about forgetting things that God has shown him, like the vision on the roof about the clean and the unclean. And it was Peter that said in 1 Peter 5:7, cast all your anxiety upon him. Now, what does that mean? Some? Most? 80%? All. Why? Because he cares for you. So often our faith is in man, and that is never a place to put any of our faith. It says in verse 9, surely men of low degree are vanity. The word vanity means something that is fleeting and unsubstantial. And men of high degree are a lie. To be laid in the balance, they are altogether lighter than vanity. In other words, we are to trust in the Lord, not in men, regardless of their position. Again, Tim Keller writes, if we trust God alone, we no longer fully trust anything else. We don't trust either the common people or the elites. Verse 10, trust not in oppression and become not vain in robbery. If riches increase, set not your heart upon them. How many people put their trust in money and in investments? How sad, how sad, how sad that when counterfeit gods fail, people fall. The world's focus, the man of this world, is to gain power and possessions, which eventually will vanish. I remember hearing two men having a conversation who were attending the funeral of a very wealthy man. And as the hearse was pulling up to the graveside, one said to the other man, I wonder how much he left behind. And the friend said, all of it. All of it. Don't trust in riches. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, bless
His holy, His wonderful. Join us tomorrow at 6:30 p.m. as we complete this study on Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola. At Koinonia Fellowship, we believe that a church that is moving forward moves forward in prayer. That is why we have time set aside every week for men's prayer, women's prayer, and corporate prayer. We especially want to invite men and women to join us tonight and every Tuesday night for a time of prayer and praise between 7 and 8 p.m. at Koinonia Fellowship, 500 Main Street in East Rochester. Do you have a Bible question? Do you need to talk with someone or have someone pray with you? If you do, we invite you to visit our website at selaonradio.com and click on the live chat button. We'd love to hear from you. Audio and video downloads of all Pastor Ray's teachings can be accessed at koinoniafellowship.com. You can subscribe to Pastor Ray's blog at selaonradio.com and receive a daily devotional by email. We welcome you to join us for Sunday morning and Wednesday evening services at Koinonia Fellowship. Our address is 500 Main Street, East Rochester, New York. Service times are 8:30 and 10:30 Sunday morning and 7 p.m. on Wednesday. This program has been brought to you by Koinonia Fellowship.